You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. The phone number for Stop Feeding the Predators is area code 614-403-4545, and we welcome your calls, comments, suggestions, anything you'd like to offer. And my name is Lynn, and today I have a special guest. And would you like to use your real name, or you can use a pseudonym? All right. All right. Rebecca has agreed to do the show with me today, and I really like a lot of what she's had to offer. We've kind of set up what we want to talk about, and I'm gonna let Rebecca do the bulk of the talking here, mostly to get us started. The topic that you came up with, I think, is wonderful.
Okay, that's women setting their worth by men. I think we all do this from teenager to 20s, 50s, 60s. We all define our worth in some way, shape, or form by a man who wants us, or a relationship we're in, or even a man that's attracted to us. So I'm just hoping to cover some of them topics to maybe have more confidence in ourselves and not determine our worth by man.
I think that's terrific. And it's real easy to look at media and say sex sells.
Absolutely.
And if a woman's not sexy and curvy in all the right places and all the right ways, then her value is somehow diminished and things like that. But I think it's important what you were bringing up when we first talked about this is day-to-day, your average high school girl, your average single woman, your average even moms, you know, regardless of the age, we tend to get caught up in the idea that who we are and our worth is tied up in the man that we're with, or if we don't have a man,
exactly,
we somehow feel that we don't have a worth.
Right.
So we talked a little bit about some key points, and the first one that was brought up was love never hurts, and you said you wanted to talk more about the real meaning behind that.
Well, I think, okay, obviously love never hurts, you think of physical abuse, a man hitting you. I think it's deeper than that. Some of us may not allow a man to hit us, but we'll allow a man to insult us, put us down, control our money, control who we can hang out with, even control how we think. And we need to put that into that love never hurts. You know what I mean?
So I saw posted on Facebook the other day, somebody posted, if someone says that you hurt their feelings, you don't get to decide that you didn't.
Love it.
And I really like that, because that's what you're talking about. There's certain things that some women will say, well, he doesn't hit me.
Right.
Okay, but he calls you a tramp, and he calls you my woman, and he tells you to get slop on the table, and he treats you badly. But you think as long as you're not being hit, you're not being abused.
Well, I think women even justify being hit. But the only reason I brought up the emotional part is because I think the majority of women know that being hit is wrong.
Right.
But the emotional, for myself, years back, I didn't realize that emotional trauma that a man gives us or could give us is actually abuse.
Right.
I didn't realize that.
Right.
I just think we need to really decide what you and I was talking about earlier.
Right.
What flaws we are willing to accept, but they should never include any kind of abuse.
Right. And in that phrase, you know, if someone says you hurt their feelings, you don't get to decide that you didn't, is more of what I'm willing to tolerate.
Yeah.
If you accidentally, you know, punch me in the eye in your sleep, and it truly was a fluke one time in your sleep, you know, oh my gosh, that never happens. What the heck? Yeah. But if something like that were to happen and you say, you know, he doesn't hit me, it was a fluke, it was a one-time thing, I understand. But he constantly calls me woman, you know, as opposed to calling me my name or calling me sweetheart or calling me, he calls me, hey, woman. And some people might find that very offensive. So in the idea of love never hurts, I think that the real meaning is how you define that based on your life experience.
Yes.
If you're okay being called woman, that's fine. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
No,
some
exactly
people think
what you're
it's
saying.
Fine. But there are some people that don't like that.
That's like, I hear couples calling each other mama and daddy, or mom and
right.
daddy. don't do that to me.
Right. To me, that just creeps me out.
To others, me too, but to right. others, it's terms of endearment. So not that that hurts me, I'm just not going to tolerate it.
Right, right. And I know for some couples, it's because they're trying to encourage the children to call mom and dad, and they're trying to teach the baby, you know, yeah. where's mommy, and hey, mommy, come see, you know, whatever. But yeah, I know some people that don't have children around, and they call
yes,
each other mom and
I
daddy.
Do too.
And again, while you and I find that offensive, some people find that very enduring. Mm-hmm. They find that, you know, as a sweet thing. But again, based on your life experience, if you are in a relationship with a man, or if you are dating, or if you are even looking at a man, and he says or does anything that hurts your feelings in any way, you might want to look at, is that a regular thing? Is that something that happens often? Does he do that all the time? Or was that like a fluke because he was nervous and choked on his words? I was at a restaurant with a friend. It wasn't a dating thing. It was just a friend. And I spilled salad dressing. And when the waiter came, I asked for more napkins.
You're going to go there.
I am going to go there. And the waiter said, oh, sure, I'll get some more napkins. And my friend said, she's a slob. And I was absolutely
jokingly.
Horrified.
Specify.
I was absolutely horrified. He was joking.
Yes.
But to me, that was not appropriate. That was not okay. So to me, that's not appropriate behavior. And as soon as the waiter left, I didn't reprimand him in front of the waiter. I waited till the waiter left. And I said, you could have said, yes, she's being sloppy. You could have said, you know, yeah, she spilled her stuff everywhere. You could have said a lot of things that would have given the same meaning. But for saying she's a slob is like a derogatory comment against me. And I was so offended. And the reason I'm bringing this up, Rebecca and I talked about this ahead of time. Rebecca says that she would laugh and not be offended by that.
Absolutely.
I was mortified.
I think. But see, I have such a sense of humor that I do that. Like if I'm on a date, you was with a friend, but I could be on a date. It also depends on how well you know each other.
Right.
I want to clarify that because if right. this is a first date or even a first meeting with a friend, then I don't know if that should be a joke.
Okay.
Know.
So if you were talking to this person casually and this is the first time the two of you sat down to dinner
yeah.
and this happened, you would be offended?
Probably because
okay,
of
then
how
that's,
sensitive I am.
Then that's,
yes.
then that's we're back on even keel.
Yeah. I don't know that person yet and you don't have that right.
Right.
To joke with me like that because you don't know if I'm going to take that serious.
Right.
But once I get to know somebody, because we were talking about my situation and
right.
someone I've been seeing for 3-4 months, we do that to each other all the time. I may tell him or I may tell the waiter he's a slob.
Right.
But he knows I'm joking and vice versa. If he says it to me, I'm going to laugh and I'm going to say something back to him, but I'm
right.
not going to take offense to it.
Right. And see, that's exactly the scenario. This person and I had talked on Facebook for a while. We had talked on the phone, you know, hours, as people do when they're meeting
right.
each other and talking. And this wasn't a romantic date. This was just two friends who were out. But there was no, in all of our conversations, there was no joking like this where...
Okay.
That ever
That's
would have
a whole different scenario.
So I'm glad to say
100%
that we both
right in the way you felt. I didn't know that.
And I'm not trying to get you to say I was right.
Oh no, because you know I won't.
Right. Right.
No, you were right though.
But no,
I agree.
That was
yes.
the scenario. We didn't joke around. The conversations we had up until that point
yeah.
were fairly serious conversations.
Yeah. No, I would agree.
And if
that
we
too.
Joked around, it was pretty mutual of the level of joking.
Yeah, no,
you know?
I get it now.
So,
didn't realize
yeah,
that. You were
yeah.
right. I that's my opinion. I can say you were right. My opinion is you were right. I'd feel the same way.
But yeah, for listeners, they're only going to get half information here. I won't use the word gentleman because that certainly doesn't apply. But the dude that I went on a date with, that at the end of the date, I told my kids how it went, and my kids said, oh my God, Mom, he treated you like a prostitute.
Yeah.
That was the last date that I had prior to going out
wow.
with this guy. So when he said,
she's
a slob, I was like, oh no, we're not even going there.
Yeah.
You know, so I was immediately on it.
I get it.
Which, unlike, I for listeners, I went on a date with a guy, with a dude, and the way he treated me the whole night, I kept thinking, this is off. It wasn't anything necessarily really bad or disrespectful. There was just a lot that was off.
The intuition.
And when I got home, my kids asked me how it went, and I told them how it went. I said, I'm not going out with him again, but this is how it went. And they said, oh my God, how is he still walking the earth? Because he treated you like a prostitute all night. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't think it was very nice, but, you know. So now listeners are like, okay, Lynn totally doesn't have a life, isn't dating, doesn't know what she's doing.
That's because you've got self-worth without having a man.
But it's also knowing, and that's exactly it. For what I've been through, I know I deserve better than what I've had in the past, but I'm new at learning what that is and how to get it.
It's unfortunate that we have to go through so much abuse and negative experiences to realize I don't deserve that and I'm not going to put up with that. It's too bad we couldn't start out 12, 13, 14, whatever the age is that we start dating, like in boys. If we couldn't start out being that way, being to where I'm not going to tolerate someone abusing me emotionally, physically, sexually, whatever it may be, guys would stop. Because they're not going to be without us women.
Right.
They're not going to do it. They can't. They can't be without us.
Right.
That's just a fact.
Right.
The abusers would be all alone and they would have to change their ways.
Right. And you talked about self-esteem and worth. And we want to touch just a little bit on appearance, because even though appearance does matter, you know, if I'm dressed in soiled, ripped clothes, if I smell bad, if my hair hasn't been washed in 3 weeks, you know, I've probably been camping. but no, how I portray myself to the world says something about who I am. Now, if I've just been camping and my hair hasn't been washed and I'm soiled and whatever, you know, that's one thing. But if I'm not taking care of myself hygienically, and I'm not talking about supermodel, I could care less. But I'm talking about basic needs, you know. Did you clean the gunk out of your eyes when you got out of bed in the morning? You know, did you run your fingers through your hair and say, cool, it looks good today? You know, did you at least acknowledge that you're beautiful how you look right now as you are? Or did you roll out of bed with bad breath and go to the store and walk around talking to people with, you know, horrifying breath and picking your nose? And, I mean, appearance matters, you know.
I think appearance should matter the way we feel that we can look the best. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When we do our appearance, hair, makeup, clothes, we shouldn't do it according to what we think a guy wants, because what we don't realize is guys want something different.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's so many different men, and they don't all want skinny women. They don't all want big women. They don't all want... They all have a certain look that they call beautiful.
Right.
Where we think, guys think, only one stereotype is beautiful, which
right.
isn't true. Most guys nowadays like thick women. That's what they tell me.
Right.
I like thick women.
Right. And so but you're skinny on purpose
I know.
To avoid those men.
Exactly. No. Actually, I've had some self-esteem issues with I need to gain some weight.
And you'll get there. And you'll get there. And I'm glad you took that was a joke and that I wasn't.
Oh, yeah. But I know you.
And you also know that once I turn off the recorder, I'm fair game. No, but it's, you know, self-esteem and self-worth is, you know, that inner processing. It's more about our mind than how we physically look.
Yes, definitely.
At one point in my life, I had gained a pretty significant amount of weight. And it doesn't matter what I weighed. It matters to me that I felt uncomfortable because
right.
of what I weighed. So to me, I felt heavy, I felt awkward, I felt just out of place, just not who I should be, and I didn't
why,
feel
though?
Like how I should look.
Why?
Because of the trauma and stuff that was going on in my life
I mean,
at the
why,
time.
Why did you feel, because you had gained weight, why did you feel less than attractive? Did you feel
I had
that
never
way
weighed
of what
that.
Other people have said about bigger women, or did you
no.
feel that? Okay.
No, in fact, okay. my mom and I got along better than we ever had in our life, because finally I weighed enough that she felt that she could relate to me.
Okay.
No, I had never been that big before.
And I personally
was,
get it because I'm the same way.
Yeah,
it
was
has
just
nothing to do with what other people think. It has
exactly.
to do with my own mind and what's acceptable in my own mind.
Exactly. But I hit a point where I looked at my life and I said, okay, for all of the trauma that's going on in my life, because this was right around the time of the divorce and the house foreclosure and all of that stuff, for everything that's going on in my life, the only thing that really makes me feel uncomfortable in my skin is my weight.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking to date anyone, and I have clothes that fit, so I'm going to be okay with who I am and where I am right now. And in fact, my self-esteem actually went up after, I mean, I had a part where I was depressed because I'd gained weight, but my self-esteem actually went up and I had a lot of men hitting on me.
That's why that confidence is beautiful.
And it was, I'm like,
not egotistical,
I'm
but confident
right now, you know,
confidence
in my mind.
Is beautiful.
And that's what they told me. They said, you come across like you don't need anyone.
Confidence.
And that is beautiful.
It is.
And I'm like, I'm wearing a size, you know, such and such skirt. I've never been this big in my life. And the one guy that I was talking to that was very honest with me, he said, you know, I don't typically go for women that are heavier, but your confidence is just beautiful. And I want to emphasize that because
yes.
there are amazing, beautiful women who are horribly skinny near anorexia. And there are amazing, confident,
are
beautiful
you talking
about
women me?
That are, no, no.
I'm joking.
No, who are on the heavier side yeah. and they don't want to be on the heavier side. And that's okay. You know, whatever they do with their bodies is up to them.
Exactly.
But whether you are skinny, norm, quote unquote, normal size for you,
which
for
I don't
who
know
you
what
want
normal
to be.
Is,
no, I mean, for you,
right.
for normal for you, or if you're feeling on the heavy side for you. The bottom line is how you feel about you is all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't matter to anyone that I had gained weight because they saw my confidence. Now, it mattered to me that I had gained weight.
Right.
But if we get on that pity party of, you
yes.
know, oh, I'm fat, I'm not going to go
I'm
out.
Ugly.
I'm
yeah.
ugly.
I look terrible. My hair looks terrible.
Yeah.
yeah. Anything that messes up the confidence will
yeah.
make you less attractive.
Yeah. And we do that to ourselves. And we do that to each other.
Oh, yeah. We should. Especially women.
Oh, yeah.
Women, definitely. Where'd you get those shoes? I wouldn't wear. Okay, well, they look good on you, but I wouldn't wear them.
Yep.
Just saying I wouldn't wear them lets me know
yep.
that you think they're ugly.
Yeah.
Now I'm afraid to wear them.
Yep.
Yeah. We do that to each other. That's terrible. We should support each other.
Yeah. And I've heard that women dress for each other, not for men.
Really?
Go to the mall and see.
I'm not the typical woman then.
No, you're not. That's why I love you. That's why I love you. That's also why I want you on the show. You know, no, if you go to the malls,
I've heard that,
you
though.
Will see women
yeah.
check out other women more than
yeah.
they check out other men.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
Absolutely.
You are so right, but I'm definitely not a typical woman.
Yep. Yep.
I've heard that before, though.
Yeah. And if you think about it, it's that whole competition thing.
Yeah.
And I try to encourage people, your only competition is whoever you don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in my life, I've been a lot of different variations of who I don't want to be.
I have, too. I have, too. I think we all have been. We definitely all have been. And we all have been because we're all trying to be somebody to please somebody else.
Right.
Instead of accepting who we really are.
Right.
That's what I think, anyway.
Right. No, I agree completely.
And that's what's been my issue.
Yeah.
I've done that many times. I've tried to become somebody that I thought would make someone else happy.
Yeah.
But in return, I was miserable.
Yep. Yeah.
So then I lost that person anyway because I was miserable.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about confidence. My confidence went down. Self-esteem went down.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a guy that I met. I had known him for years. And we had gone on a date. And then he called up one day. And I answered the phone. And he goes, I can't remember what he said. He said something really crappy to me. Oh, he goes, like, what the hell are you doing?
Goodbye.
And I said,
you're the wrong number.
And I said, well, again, you're talking about that, you know, getting to know somebody.
Yes.
So I answered the phone. I'm like, hello. And he's like, what the hell are you doing? And I said, I'm doing what I want. Why are you bothering me? And he burst out laughing, and we got along fine from then. And it was kind of, you know, he was being playful, joking, and I was playful, joking right back. I didn't take his crap.
Right.
That's how our relationship started. And I won't give the length of the relationship because that would give away who it was. But I will tell you, at the end of that relationship, I was the, well, I'm just answering the phone, honey. I didn't know that you would be upset that I answered the phone. What do you mean? What the hell am I doing? Am I not doing? I mean, I was that girl.
You're just the opposite.
I was that girl.
You know what girl I've been? I start out being the woman
you
that
start
I
up.
Think. But then as we get more comfortable, I
you
become
you
myself.
Again.
Yes.
See, I did the opposite. I started out being me, and I ended up being what I thought he wanted.
Yeah, either way to me is wrong. We need to be ourselves all the time.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm just
exactly.
the opposite. I'm a pleaser
yeah.
in the beginning and myself at the end, and I'll walk out the door.
Yep, yep. He made the comment at the end of the relationship. He made the comment. He said, "I lost myself in this relationship, but you totally lost yourself in the relationship."
That's
sad. So, I mean, it was even obvious to him. But and that brings me to the other point that we wanted to make is about loneliness.
Yeah, no, loneliness is huge with me. I'm sure with a lot of people.
It is.
I think you might be better with it.
Oh, you are so fooled.
Really? You seem to be better with it. Loneliness is huge for me.
Loneliness.
I love people.
Loneliness is huge for a lot of people, and for me included. And I just noticed we're wearing the same kind of earrings. That's so cool. So anyway, sorry, squirrel. But loneliness is a big deal. The reason that you think it's probably from Facebook, that you probably think that I'm better at being lonely than other people are, is
no,
because I have been
it's in your presence, that confidence that you carry.
Oh, okay. Well, I have been so lonely in my life that I have done things that I have regretted.
Me too.
And I think that's how we met.
That's why I did them. Me too. Let's not go there, though.
No. But I have learned that I would rather be alone and do the stupidest things I can come up with than be with somebody else and do the stupidest things they can come up with. Because at least if I'm lonely and I'm doing stupid stuff, it's all on me. And it's probably part of me that I've been wanting to do but have been afraid to do. So
Right. Screw
it. Nobody's around. I'm doing this, you know.
And have you ever been with somebody and you've been lonelier with that person than alone?
Yes.
The loneliest I've ever been is in a relationship that I wasn't happy.
Yeah. And for me, it was because I wasn't myself anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. You lose yourself.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then you become lonely.
Yeah. And then I wanted him around more to fill that void, which was impossible
right.
to fill because my loneliness was based on me not being me anymore, not based on him not being there.
Well, and we're all built that we are allowed to talk about God, right?
Yeah, if
God
you want.
God is love. In my opinion, God is love. And I think we all have that need to be loved.
Yeah.
We really do. We just need to learn what love really is.
Right. And for those of you who missed it earlier, love never hurts. And that's emotional, physical, sexual, whatever.
And back it up with that statement you said about being too sensitive.
Right, right. Yeah.
There's different hurts for different people.
Right. And I don't do well with sarcasm.
I'm very sarcastic.
I know. We're going to have a ball. I don't do well with sarcasm. And I've had people, I'll throw this out there.
Okay.
My brother was in town recently, and prior to him coming into town, we were setting up plans, and we would talk on the phone, and he would say really sarcastic things.
Can you give an example? Just one?
I better not.
Okay. I'm sarcastic, but I don't want to hurt people with my sarcasm. I want them to laugh, not be hurt.
We were talking about going to do a picture from my mom for Christmas of my brother and I in nice clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, you don't have to wear a tux. You just have to wear something really nice, you know, whether it's blue jeans and just a dress shirt or whatever. And so I'm telling him what I'm expecting is nice, what
right.
counts as nice. And he said, well, I have a tux. I wear that everywhere I go. Okay. He's being sarcastic.
Okay.
I said, well, you can wear it if you want, but because you're coming from out of town, I'm going to let you decide what you want to wear, and then I will match to that. So make sure that you tell me what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca, I carried on a conversation as if what he said was true.
Okay, I'm gullible, so I would have been on the same page that you were on. I would have believed everything he said.
And he then, after a moment of silence, said, I don't wear a tux everywhere I go. And I said, oh, well, why did you
then
say
you
that?
Say
that confused me.
Yeah.
See, and that's him being sarcastic and me not being sarcastic.
Yeah, that's a whole different level of sarcasm.
Yeah, and it was funny because when we were trying to set this up, he kept being sarcastic and I kept having genuine conversations.
I would do the same thing.
And the poor boy, I say boy, he's older than me, my brother. I love my brother. I think he realized that I was clueless. And when I finally said to him one time, you know, when you do that, it confuses me.
Right.
he stopped. I've had several conversations with him since then, and even the day that we were doing the photo shoot, his silliness was still there. So I didn't hamper who he was, mm-hmm. but the sarcasm wasn't.
Okay.
And it was so much easier to communicate because finally he was talking in a way that I understood that he was being silly.
Right.
And I didn't carry on conversations that were based on BS.
Gotcha.
So it worked out better for both of us. But, you know, to me, sarcasm and this is, I've got documents hanging. For those who don't know, I've got documents hanging on the wall behind me that says I've received educational training through the police department, through SARNCO, which is a rape support group, various different sources. And one of the things I learned, and I sat there with my mouth open, I wanted to argue with them against this being true. Sarcasm is used to maintain power and control over the relationship, over the conversation, so that the other person is left guessing where they stand with you, so that you are always in a power seat.
I didn't know that, because when I use sarcasm, I honestly want to make people laugh.
Right, you do it to be silly.
Yes.
Right.
I don't want power or control. At least I don't think I do. I really use sarcasm in my mind, unless I need to reevaluate myself.
We all need to reevaluate ourselves.
To make other people laugh, because I love to make people laugh.
Right. And it could even be said that by me stifling my brother's sarcasm, that I was taking power and control over the conversation.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it can be seen the other way.
Yeah, that sarcasm, though, can be annoying. I'm sorry.
But I know people that use sarcasm as genuinely a way to keep the other
yes.
person constantly guessing where they stand
yes.
in the relationship.
I know exactly what you're saying.
And that's
somehow we got off
horrible.
To loneliness, or did we?
We're still in Bouncing loneliness.
Around.
If you put up with people that are sarcastic to
oh, yeah,
you to avoid being lonely,
right.
that's not a good thing, because love never hurts.
We were talking about
See,
bad we relationships.
It. We got it.
Yeah.
We circled around.
Okay.
But we do have about 5 minutes left, so we're gonna do our 10 minutes of hope in 5 minutes.
Okay.
So the main thing is the topic of today's show, women setting their worth by men. And if you learn nothing from this entire half-hour conversation, I want all women listening to know, and men too, that your worth is defined by your actions, your thoughts, not by the opinions of others. It's based on you being the best you.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that you have to have arrived at being the best you. It just means that you have to be pursuing being the best you. If you're an Olympic skater, you don't have to have a gold medal to be the best you. You can be practicing for what you want to do.
Right.
But if you're a schmuck the whole way and you're beating puppies along the way, nobody gives a crap about your gold medal. So it's your actions and your thoughts, not the opinions of others. Well, okay, what if I think it's okay to kick puppies and other people don't? That's their problem, not mine. No, you're a schmuck. Stop beating puppies.
Yeah.
But we talked about, you know, defining what those actions can be. And some of that, Rebecca, you said earlier, ties in with loneliness. If you're lonely,
yeah,
then some of your actions can be doing things that involve reaching out to other people who might be lonely.
Yeah, like I was telling you earlier, I think if we do something productive, whatever our definition of productive is, for some people it's making money, for some people it's helping others, for some people it's taking care of children, or what you do. Anything we define as being productive, if we put that into action, like you were talking about actions, it will create more positive thoughts
right.
about us and who we are and what we have to bring to the table.
Right.
Don't you agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
I will make a comment about the money aspect, though. How much money you make does not define
I agree.
Who you are as a person.
I agree.
And I know you well enough, Rebecca, that I believe that
I don't care about money at all. But I know some people do.
Right. And to some people, defining success is to make money, and
right.
that's great. But that shouldn't be your whole goal in life, is I have so much money, because that's not who you are. That's what you did.
I agree. I'm saying, what I mean by that is not saying that you should put importance on how much money you make. My situation, exactly. I needed a job.
Right.
That involves money. I ain't
right.
going to make much money, But the fact that I'll be making money to become independent is productive right. for me, which is going to make me feel better about myself.
Right. And that's exactly it. Making enough money to cover what you need
right.
to feel successful. And that doesn't mean having $1 billion makes you a great
By
person.
By no means, because you won't right. feel good anyway. You'll be alone.
Right. Well, $1 million, you can find people to pretend to be with you.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You'll be questioning all the time, do these people love me or do they love my money? Yeah.
Exactly. So I would like everyone to know that you do matter in this world, whether you're alone, whether you're with someone, whether you're male or female, whether you're old or young, I don't care what color you are, I don't care what you weigh, you matter. And if you think you don't, you are welcome to call me at 614-403-4545, and you can tell me how much you don't matter, and I bet you I can find where you do.
Can I say something? Just
yes.
real quick. I don't want people to think that we're against relationships. I just want to say, if you're in a relationship, just make sure that that person makes you smile so much that your heart smiles. Like,
I
there's
think that's
happiness.
Great.
You know what I mean?
I think that's great.
Happiness and not sadness and pain. And then when you are sad, that they pick you up.
Right.
That anything that they do is positive, that builds you up and doesn't tear you down.
Right. I'm so glad that you said that. Because, yeah, we've been sitting here talking about how you shouldn't base your worth, whether you're male or female, shouldn't
right.
base your worth on another person. We're not bashing relationships.
No, because there's very healthy relationships.
Relationships are wonderful, and they can be the difference of, you know.
Maybe we'll talk about that another time.
A happy life or not. Exactly.
A good relationship.
Exactly. So we've run over by a little bit. I'm glad that you said that. I really am. Is there anything else you want
to? No.
You're good?
Thanks for letting me do this with you.
Thanks for doing this with me. And for those of you who enjoyed listening to Lynn and Rebecca ramble about relationships and loneliness and self-esteem and all those wonderful things, please call us. Let us know what you liked. Let us know what you didn't. If there's other things you want to hear about, certainly let us know. You've been listening to Lynn and Rebecca on City of Angels Recovery Radio. This is Stop Feeding the Predators. And remember, healing starts here.